North Carolina officials didn't expect their May 6 primary to attract much attention, but with the Democratic nomination still up in the air, the state is getting lots of notice. And joining me now to explain what matters to voters in the Tar Heel State is David Ingram, a staff writer for the Charlotte Observer, who covers North Carolina politics from the State Capitol Bureau. I'm pleased to welcome him to this week's States of the Union. Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
Okay. Hillary Clinton is campaigning in your state today, but polls show that Barack Obama has a double-digit lead. Is that why Rob Christensen wrote in the News and Observer yesterday that Indiana will get more attention for its primary on May 6th than North Carolina will?
Yes, that's exactly right. The polls in Indiana right now show the race a lot closer than the North Carolina race. There are several reasons for that, but at least at this moment, Barack Obama is starting off with a pretty big lead in North Carolina.
Helped partly by the fact that 38% of registered North Carolina Democrats are black?
Yes, that is certainly one of the factors. Like a lot of southern states, Barack Obama is likely to benefit in North Carolina from that demographic.
In the Democratic primary, but not necessarily in the national election?
Not necessarily. The Obama campaign has talked about how they believe North Carolina could be competitive in the fall for Democrats and for him if he's the nominee. But North Carolina hasn't gone for a Democratic presidential candidate since 1976.
What is the logic behind the North Carolina Republican Party's release of a television ad that features the comments of Reverend Jeremiah Wright and ties them to Barack Obama and the state Democrats who have endorsed him? I know John McCain has said that he would prefer that they not run the ad, although I'm not sure how it hurts him. But what do you think that is happening there? Are they less afraid of Hillary Clinton than Barack Obama, or is something else at play here?
I think that they do. They would like to see the Democratic presidential nomination continue to for as long as possible, and to the extent that they can maybe bring down Barack Obama a little bit in North Carolina, that would meet that goal. But I think the state party, Republican Party here, also benefits in other ways too. They are hoping that this ad will help them raise money. They are actually traditionally very underfunded compared with their Democratic counterparts in North Carolina.
Well, the way the news works these days is you can run an ad once and then get a lot of traction because it's going to be on every news show. And adding to that, we have put the ad on our show page at WNYC.org. Uh-huh. About 165,000 people have registered to vote in North Carolina since January. Is that a record?
It's far and away a big increase over the people who registered over a similar period in 2004.
And would you assume that it's pretty much all because of the Democratic race?
Yes. The proportions are very much skewed toward Democrats. There are people who are registering who have never registered or even been interested in politics before, and it's transforming the politics of the state, at least for this primary.
Isn't there a new state law for this election that allows unregistered voters to sign up and vote on the same day through May 3rd?
Yes, as you might know, some states people can register up through the day of the election. And prior to this year, people had to register before 25 days before an election. With this election, people are able to register and vote up until the Saturday before.
So 74,000 people have already voted so far. Are there any polls to indicate how they've been voting?
No, there haven't been any sort of exit polls for the people who have voted. But undoubtedly, the people who are voting now reflect at least somewhat the overall polls that we're seeing, and that's likely to help Barack Obama if his lead were to shrink later on.
Well, John Edwards hasn't made an endorsement yet, but many of his supporters in the state have gone for Barack Obama. Would his endorsement have made much of a difference in the race at this point?
In North Carolina?
Yeah.
I don't know that it would move a whole lot of votes, in fact. I think if John and his wife Elizabeth were to endorse, we'd certainly hear a lot about it nationally and locally. and he would be one of the biggest endorsements, most coveted endorsements in the state. But it would be incorrect to sort of characterize him as a major political force in the state.
John well, Edwards. His Senate seat went to a Republican in the 2004 election. I'm not sure whether that was because the Republican was a stronger candidate or whether the state is becoming more Republican.
There are a lot of factors in that race, but I think actually the most coveted endorsement probably is from the former governor, Jim Hunt, who served four-year terms and is close to the Clintons, actually, but still has not made up his mind publicly about who he's going to support.
North Carolina went for President Bush with 56% of the vote in both 2000 and 2004, even though John Edwards was on the Democratic ticket in 2004. What do you think that tells us?
That's right. You know, 04, you know, it really didn't seem to matter that John Edwards was on the ballot here. And
that's despite the fact that 45.5% of the state's voters are registered Democrats, only 34.5% are registered Republicans. It's those 20% who are independents that are the key, but are they more likely to vote Republican than Democrat?
It really depends on the office and on the year. While it's true that President Bush won North Carolina in both 2000 and 2004, Mike Easley, a Democrat, won both governor's races in those 2 years by similar margins. And so North Carolina voters are actually fairly, not unpredictable, but they will pick and choose candidates for not necessarily based on party. And in fact, have a long history of electing, voting for Republican presidents, but Democratic governors and state offices.
And sometimes even odd couples. North Carolina at one point had Jesse Helms and John Edwards as its two U.S. senators.
That's right.
But it's not being called the purple state.
It's not. And this will be an interesting test this year to see, you know, we have all these new people registering to vote. And they're in, and the state is becoming increasingly urban with growth in Charlotte and Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. And this will be sort of a test to see whether a lot of the people who are moving into the state are going to maybe swing the vote in November for Democrats.
My guest is David Ingram, staff writer for the Charlotte Observer. We're talking about North Carolina, which is going to have its primary on May 6th, next Tuesday. You talked about the people who are moving into the state. The state is growing really fast, isn't it? I mean, what is it, 52% or something like that? Growth rate in the last couple of years, the last 26 years. What's bringing so many people to North Carolina other than the good schools?
A lot of people from New York, I think, are coming.
Is that it?
Partly, I guess. But I think it's really what it boils down to is jobs and quality of life. I mean, we hear again and again that people move down here from the north, buy a house that is twice the size and cost less.
Well, has that rate of population growth created any problems?
It's actually created quite a few problems. Unlike some northern states, North Carolina is having to deal with tremendous growth, and that requires building new schools, new roads. Charlotte just opened its first light rail, sort of a century behind a lot of northern cities in that respect. And sort of the burgeoning population is causing environmental problems as well, and it's really affecting every policy decision that state leaders have to make.
Well, nearly half of the state's population is in the Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham, and Greensboro, Winston-Salem areas. So is North Carolina becoming a more urban state?
It is, absolutely.
Despite the fact that it's the nation's number two producer of hogs?
That is still true, and there are still number one in tobacco and pretty high up there, I think, in chickens and cucumbers. The history of North Carolina for almost all of its history is that it's been a history of a state of small towns and small cities. Even the biggest city in the state, Charlotte, I think is barely in the top 25 nationwide, even though the state is the 10th largest in the country. But more and more we're seeing that the big cities of Charlotte, Raleigh, and Greensboro are adding people. They're building up, and they're getting a lot more suburban as well.
In 1993, North Carolina led the nation in manufacturing jobs. In 2004, it was eighth. So it will NAFTA be an issue in this race?
I think it will be. But interestingly, most of the jobs, weren't lost because of NAFTA. North Carolina's traditional hub is traditionally a hub of three things, tobacco, textiles, and furniture. And a lot of those jobs actually moved to China and not to Mexico or other South American, Latin American countries. So you might see as much discussion about trade policies with China as you might about NAFTA.
Well, I heard that Erskine Bowles was hurt by being linked to NAFTA when he was running for the Senate in 2002. Or were his problems the fact that he was linked to the Clintons?
I think there was a little bit of everything of both of those things. He ran in both 2002 and 2004 for the Senate and lost both times. And he, of course, is one of Clinton's, Bill Clinton's former chiefs of staff. But 2004 was just a tough year nationally for Democrats. And Democrats in North Carolina have had a hard time historically winning a U.S. Senate race when there's also a presidential race in the same year.
What about some of the other big issues that have come up? Immigration, the war, health care?
Mm-hmm. The war is right after, I think in the last few months, as in the rest of the country, we've seen the economy as far and away the issue that voters are most interested in.
Really? Because North Carolina has GlaxoSmithKline, facilities for Nortel, Sony Ericsson, Cisco, IBM, and Dell, Bank of America, and Wachovia have their headquarters there. Mm-hmm. I would have thought it was booming.
I'd say it was until about 6 months ago. We're seeing rumors or layoffs or rumors of layoffs at the big banks in Charlotte. And growth has slowed in the housing market, certainly, and then again with manufacturing. And part of that, I think, probably just has to do with the national sentiment and national media talking about a recession and what's going on nationally. I'd say the war is probably a distant second.
Even though Fort Bragg and Camp Lejeune are both located in North Carolina?
Yeah, that's right. Two of the biggest military bases in the country are here. But then there's also sort of hotbeds of anti-war sentiment in Chapel Hill, Asheville, and other places. So you'll see a real divide in North Carolina about that. But again, as you said, all those servicemen and veterans probably give McCain a big edge in November.
Then there's the immigrant population. Yesterday I interviewed somebody about how the new immigrants are moving to smaller towns rather than the gateway cities they used to go to in the past. And North Carolina is one of the major destinations of immigrants.
That's right.
Are they popular throughout the state?
Yeah, well, they're populous. I don't know if they're popular. I guess that would depend on who you ask. And you're right that there are lots of small towns throughout North Carolina that become sort of hubs for immigrants, Latino immigrants.
Because of meat packing and chicken packing and some of the other jobs that other people don't want to have.
Exactly, and agriculture as well, picking. Picking tobacco and Christmas trees and other products. We have yet to really see Latinos become a major political force in the state. They haven't registered in large numbers, in part because a lot of them are not eligible to vote. And we don't think we'll see that this year, but we're going to look for it.
In November of 2002, Governor Michael Easley became the first governor to veto a bill in North Carolina since 1774. Why doesn't the governor use the veto power more frequently?
Well, in fact, North Carolina, compared to other states, has had a relatively weak system for the governor. The governor didn't even have a veto for most of the state's history until after the 1996 election, when Governor Hunt asked voters and voters approved to give the governor that power, and then Hunt never used it. A lot of the power really resides here with the legislature. It's similar, maybe in some respect, to New York in that way. and the leaders of the state House and Senate are as influential and sometimes more influential than the governor.
Now, the governor easily is not your typical Democrat. He highlighted his endorsement from the National Rifle Association, declined to go to the Democratic Convention in Boston in 2004, even though John Edwards was on the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Is he trying to disassociate himself from the National Democrats?
Well, it's funny. I think if any of your listeners can find a photo of Governor Mike Easley with either John Kerry or Al Gore or even Bill Clinton, you know, there should be a prize for that. He didn't go to the convention in 2000 either, when he was the nominee for governor, and really has stayed away from National Democrats and to some extent from state Democrats too.
Although that's not going to matter anymore; he's term limited, so we're going to see primaries in both parties on May 6th as well. Is that adding to the excitement?
That is, to the campaigns, the campaigns actually, to some extent, aren't happy about that because it means that they're getting a lot less attention. But we will have campaigns and primaries for governor, U.S. Senate, and other statewide races.
For the U.S. Senate, the two Democrats who are trying to run against Elizabeth Dole, although it's unlikely that either of them will topple her.
I think that remains to be seen at this point.
Oh, really? Is she vulnerable?
You know, I guess everyone's vulnerable, but I think most national analysts see that as leaning Republican. Elizabeth Dole is not ranked very effectively in Washington among her fellow senators, and
she hasn't spent much time in the state either, has she?
She has not spent as much time in the state, at least as much as the Democrats want her to, and with the national political environment, you know, there could be as many as 10 Republican-held U.S. Senate seats that are that could go Democratic, and this one might be if it goes, it'll probably be the 10th.
David Ingram is a staff writer for the Charlotte Observer. Thank you so much for talking with us today on our States of the Union series.
Thank you, sir.